Hey guys, and welcome back to Casual Commander. I'm Tim.
And I'm Chris.
And we are both fresh and back from my vacation. Chris had a work trip.
It was like a vacation.
Yeah. It's at least a cool place.
Yeah.
So we're both back. We did not record last week because of that. We didn't prep anything for this week because of that. So we thought it'd be fun to take an episode and kind of talk about like the state of Magic, talk about some news, talk about how we think things are going, how the sets have been recently. Cause I would say at least between us, the sets have been divisive. So we want to talk about, has that held up? Are they kind of meeting expectations? Stuff like that.
Yeah, call this one a catch-up episode. We haven't had just a state, like, it's, you know what, maybe we start doing our own State of Magic, you know, quarterly State of Magic discussions between Tim and I. We don't need another series.
Well, yeah, but this is great, because usually around that time, we're like, okay, there's no sets out, what do we do? We're like, I don't know.
Well, you just need to design some damn decks or something.
Look, man, I have been gone. So for anyone who cares, Nikki and I did an impromptu trip to Ireland, which was amazing. I say impromptu, like we planned it for a couple months, but it was not that long.
Tim just went overseas to get drunk for 4 straight days.
Literally, it was great. I earned some brownie points. I surprised Nikki with a make your own jewelry session, like a lesson. So we made our wedding bands,
which is really cool. That's easy brownie points, brother.
Easy.
Easy. Not even a joke.
And it was cheaper than a real wedding band, so
thank God Nikki doesn't listen to this podcast.
Oh, she knows. She absolutely knows.
Great. That's a good idea, actually.
Thank you. Yeah, I was pretty proud of that.
Did you rip some sconces off the wall and melt the steel down yourself?
No, but literally the only like thing going through my mind while doing that was people who buy things are stupid.
Did you have a waffle iron to melt the metal down?
No, that was the only disappointing part, was they, for insurance reasons, couldn't let us do anything that was remotely dangerous, right? Like, worst we could have gotten is like a bruised finger from like the jewelry hammers.
I know. Does it have diamonds in it? Is it diamond encrusted?
Fuck no.
Wow. So what you're saying is I could have gone and just cut off a piece of pipe and handed it to you and been like, we're married now.
I mean, it's silver, right? Like it's a precious metal.
All metal is precious to the right person, Tim.
Well, okay, fair enough. But when it comes to wedding bands,
steel.
Iron.
Mine's tungsten.
So, and maybe we're getting down a weird rabbit hole right now. We can cut this out or leave it in. This is not the April Fool's episode, but aren't tungsten like bands dangerous? Don't they have to like break them off if like there's an issue?
Yeah, whatever. Tungsten is strong but brittle.
So they snap it, essentially.
They just shatter it. So it's actually better, because it's never going to, like, if pressure is like applied to the ring, it would just break.
Oh, okay.
You know, so it's not going to pinch my finger off like a gold or iron or steel band would. It would just pop.
The thing I'm most terrified of is the degloving that I've seen.
Oh yeah. I never wear my ring when I'm working. Like if I'm like in the field doing something, I don't wear it.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's not get into the whole concept of degloving.
State of Magic. You know, I think degloving's bad.
You remember that one card that just came out, Ring Deglove? No. All right. So let's talk Magic news. I think the most topical right now, which affects, I wouldn't say affects the day-to-day life of a Magic player, but is good to discuss, is the CEO of Wizards of the Coast has recently stepped down.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. It's give me a second. Cynthia Williams has stepped down. She's been CEO for a couple years now.
Did she give any reason why?
So, not yet. But you know, it's like it's one of those things where it says she stepped down, so she willingly gave in her resignation. I mean, speculation online is she went somewhere else or she was told to step down. It's high level nonsense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Tim, if I ever decided to kick you off the pod, we would word it to our listeners that Tim chose to step down.
We wouldn't hide anything. We'd be like,
no, Chris, we wouldn't.
Chris did something stupid.
So, I mean, if you look back at her tenure as CEO, the same kind of thing happens with the companies, like all kinds of big conglomerate corporations, where they bring in a CEO. The CEO does all the hard stuff. You know, the unpopular things. They become a scapegoat. That CEO quits or lets go, and then another one comes in and says, we're going to be better, and nothing changes. They keep all the changes that other CEO made, right? Reddit did this exact thing with, remember Ellen Powell?
Generally, yeah.
Yeah. So Ellen Powell came in, changed a whole bunch of stuff. Everyone hated it. They let her go after a year and a half, and then Spez came back, and everyone was happy, but Spez kept everything as is.
And then didn't he do, like, a bunch of crap that, like, everyone hated?
He's still doing a bunch of crap that everyone hates, but we don't have to talk about Spez. But, like, if you look at this woman's tenure, right, like, secret layers are through the roof. Alternate, like, unique universes beyond is through the roof. Mm-hmm. They adjusted to the play boosters. They've had, like, huge price increases. They've had layoffs at Wizards. So, like, a lot of the tough decisions, or unpopular decisions, obviously, were made by this woman.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it. She came from, hold on. So she actually, before Wizards, came from Microsoft.
Oh.
Kind of a weird. Yeah. And before Microsoft, she came from Amazon. To be fair, her time at like Microsoft was mostly around Xbox. So she worked in the commercial team, gaming ecosystem commercial team.
Yeah.
But yes, I think she came in. She probably took a fat paycheck, made all the hard choices, and then boogied on out of there.
Made all the hard choices. Well, that's the thing is, like, were the choices hard or were they bad? I mean,
we have to look at the data, right?
So I guess maybe I shouldn't say that because I don't necessarily hate some of the things that you mentioned before. And I'm fine with, like, things that, like, help supplement Magic. Like, Secret Lairs, I'm fine with.
Yeah, as long as they're not mechanically unique, I'm all for Secret Lairs.
Yeah, me too. But I think the price increases are, like, the thing that I'm like, I don't know that those had to happen. And so maybe she had to, like, make those decisions because I'm sure we say it all the time. It's probably more Hasbro than it was Wizards. But, like, still.
But she had to take what Hasbro said, right? If you look at what's happened over the past 2 years, so we've already kind of talked about a few things, but if you also think about serialized cards.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Introduction of serialized cards. More unique arts, different styles, right? All kinds of stuff. The Aftermath set. Mm-hmm. All of those, to me, felt like bottom line. Trying to get that profit margin up. And I think this particular CEO, Cynthia, was probably demanded by Hasbro because Hasbro was hemorrhaging all of their, like, all of their other sectors were losing money except for Wizards.
Yeah.
And so they told her, make money.
Fair.
You know, so she had to do the layoff. She had to make all these hard decisions. Obviously, it's all speculation what we're saying right now, but. Like, that's just my gut feel. So what you're going to see, in my opinion, is a new CEO move in, someone who's approachable or liked by the community, somebody who will still keep all the decisions that have been made and just keep the status quo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
Because Wizards, what? Wizards makes D&D and Magic. Maybe a couple other things in there. Robo Rally, right? But
if let's talk about Robo Rally.
but you get what I mean, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like I feel like in my mind, over the past 2 years, Magic has become more corporatized. It feels less of a TCG and more of a CCG. Does that make sense?
They're definitely leaning that way. I think, like...
Or they're trying to.
Yeah, I think they're skirting the line of, like, the hybrid. Because I do think they're doing a lot of things mechanically. And to develop the game that, like, still keep it in that realm. But then you're right. Like, they're adding in, like, the serialized cards and all these things that make it more about collecting for some people. And to be fair, that's where the money is, right?
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you get the whales and everything who really just bring up the bottom line. So, I get it. It's hard to... Like, there's a thin line between... Okay, this company, if we want this company to continue to make product, they need to exist and make money, or else there's no reason for them to do it. But yeah. Also at the same time, it seems like they're like, well, we got to make money, but at the expense of the people who actually, like, want to play.
Right? Sure. When I first got back into Magic, right, a booster box, a play box, or like a draft box was $90.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Now look at it, right? And in between the time I went from just back in the game to now, they have had 3 different types of booster boxes created.
Yeah.
It's confusing. They had the collector's boosters and they had the set boosters. Now they have the play boosters.
Mm-hmm.
It's confusing. Like, it's been confusing, but I feel like they've been very much like, that set didn't make a lot of money. The next set, do this.
Yeah.
And it's just quick. It's quick. It's fast. It's moving.
And I don't know about other people, but I have kind of gotten away from, like, I can't afford to buy boxes anymore. Right.
Yeah.
At least not consistently.
Yeah.
And I say I can't, like, I want to do other things. Like, this isn't my only hobby, but if I buy boxes every set, it will be, right? Because I can't afford to do anything else.
Yeah, and I feel like you. I feel like I've been priced out of buying boxes.
Absolutely.
Right. When they were $80-$90 for a draft box, sure. Easy. Now they're like $140-$150, and that's almost double the price, man.
Yeah. It's insane. And it feels like it doesn't feel as rewarding, right? Because, like, you like opening packs for, like, that rush of, like, there could be something good in here. And then you open it up and, like, most sets, I'm not even getting close. Not even getting close to getting half my money back in terms of, like, cards.
Oh, so, well, that's why you got to open the remake sets, you know, the reprint sets. But then those are twice the price.
Exactly. And then the Modern Horizons are like triple the price. And it's just, I can't do it. One of my favorite sets was the Lord of the Rings sets. And like the collector box was for that. I had to budget. I was like, can I do this? And I did it anyway. The answer was no, but I.
But you did like, honestly, like the most value, the most bang for your buck right now, if you were to buy sealed product, is buying the pre-cons.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what you're getting. You're getting good reprints. You're getting good new cards that are going to go up in value, right? Because you know, like, in 4 years, someone's going to come up with some stupid-ass combo with dog meat, and dog meat's going to cost $74.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that on the whole, that's true. I still think the Commander's Legends box, or, like, pre-cons, probably aren't worth what they were actually going for. Like, I think the Eldrazi one is still like $100.
Yeah. Well, this is actually a pretty good, this is a pretty good transition, I would think, into the next topic I want to bring up, which is Modern Horizons 3. Mm. So pre-release, or, you know, pre-order prices are up.
Naturally.
And I want to read some of these prices to you, Tim. And granted, this is Amazon. This is not TCG Player, but I think TCG Player would probably be pretty comparable. Give me a second. Yeah, it's pretty comparable. All right. Actually, I'll just look at TCG Player. Modern Horizons 3 Play Booster, $280.
Okay.
That's twice as much as a standard set. Now, granted, again, this is pre-order pricing. Market price is $289, listings at $280. Commander Collector's Box. Give me a guess how much a collector's booster box is.
Like the full box?
Yeah.
Question.
12 packs.
Oh, 12 packs? They're doing that this time?
Looks like it. Yeah, okay, 12 so packs.
$600.
$400.
Not too far off.
Market price, $460.
Jesus.
Now, they're also similar to what they did with the Universes Beyond with the 40K. They're doing regular and collector's commander bundles. Right? Because why not? Why not mark up the commander boxes by making it all foil and warped?
Yeah.
All right. So the four commander boxes we've kind of already talked about. There's a Jund one, a Simic one, Jeskai one, and five color Eldrazi. So if you were to pre-order.
Technically the six.
Six?
There's six pips on it. It's colorless as well.
Sure. What? Okay. All right. All right.
Tough guy. I guess it's not a color, but like, yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right. So if you were to buy all four, what do you think the price is?
This one isn't fair because I looked that one up.
Oh, you know. Okay. So it's $240 to buy all four, which comes out to about $60 a deck.
Which, but I do.
Which is okay.
Well, no, hear me out. What you're getting from that is the Eldrazi deck. The Eldrazi deck is going for $200 alone right now.
Is it really?
On TCG Player. Oh my god,
$195.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's all speculation. Like, why would I ever pre-order that right now?
Actually, the only reason I've ever done it, I did it for the Commander Masters ones. They went up in price.
Yes.
Yeah. Except for Commodore Guff.
What I would probably do if it were me is wait for them to be released. There's going to be a dip in price when it comes out. Buy it then.
Oh, you think it'll go?
This is normal. This is normal where the pre-order price is way inflated.
Yeah.
And then it's going to pop down a little bit. It's going to a small dip. It's not going to be a long dip. It's not going to be for a while. But when the product starts flooding the market, it's easier to get. People have it in Walmart. People have it at your TCGs. It's a Target.
Yeah.
That's when the price is going to slightly dip. That's insane. And then after time, it'll come back up. Now, how much do you think the pre-order right now is if you wanted to buy the collector's version of all four decks?
I mean, so it's $250 for all four, probably like, I would go add in another $400 on that, so $650.
$590, so about $600, call it an even six.
Not bad.
$650.
Yeah.
For a commander deck.
Yep.
For foils that are going probably warp. I'm being aggressive, right? And it's maybe it turns out that they have alternate printings, you know, and maybe it's alternate art. Are you just getting a bunch of foils? We don't know yet.
Well, I guess that's the thing is like all the other one, the premium ones were not alternate art. They were just foils.
Well, some were full art, some were foils, but like, are they going to introduce serialized cards in these?
Oh, that would be, if they do that, I think I have to stop. Right, because like, that's like the final straw, right? Like adding serialized cards into all portions of the game only drives the price up for everything.
Yep.
So like if you keep it in one sector, you keep it in collector's boosters, then it's at least you're like, okay, well that's literally what it's for, right? You're trying to get high value cards, but it's higher risk. That's on you to make that. If you put them in everything, I'm fucked. Like,
yeah.
So,
I mean, granted, technically the commander decks that you can buy today, theoretically, that have the commander, like they have like the, oh, what's it called? The collector's sample pack. You, in theory, could get a serialized card from that, but no one's buying full commander packs. No one's buying full commander decks for a 2-card pack.
Well, that's the thing, is it's 2 cards, right? So like,
yeah,
that probably will drive the price up if they do that, but it's not, well, you know, I was about to say, but no one's that stupid, but people are.
A Modern Horizons 3 gift bundle, market price $104. A gift bundle. What's that? 10 packs? Not even?
Ugh.
9 play boosters, 1 collector's booster, 1 traditional foil card with bundle exclusive alternate art, 15 traditional foil basic lands. So, I mean, like, honestly, that's not a bad deal for the current price.
For the current price, though. That's
for the current price. Right. So, 10, I mean, if you do the basic math, a collector's pack right now is listed at $50, and a regular booster pack is at $18. So if you were to buy product, it's actually cheaper. Just buy a bunch of gift bundles. Don't buy a play box. Just go buy gift bundles.
Didn't that happen with the Phyrexia All We Won, right?
No, actually ended up being the oil slick ones. I feel like they ended up being more expensive.
Oh, probably.
Because they had the oil slick in it, so people really wanted those oil slick printings.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I guess just, in my mind, how do I, as the average consumer, how do I get to open this product?
And that's the thing is, they don't care.
I'm priced out. The stores in Wales are going to buy this, and then Wizards doesn't care. And the price is going to go down because the market's going to be saturated with squirrels.
Nothing but squirrels.
Nothing but squirrels. And I mean, like, I guarantee that this set is going to have game busting cards in it.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. That's what they do for Modern Horizons. You look, I mean, they're reprinting the Eldrazi.
I mean, didn't they do that for the last Modern Horizons? What did they? No, they reprinted in Commander Masters. That's what it was.
Yeah, they've already admitted they're printing fetch lands, right? We know what the new Emberquill looks like. We're getting new Eldrazi. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, and we're not going to be able to afford it.
And we won't be able to afford it. We're just going to have to sit there and watch them.
That's rough.
You know it. What are you going to do? I think that's my problem, and that's why I kind of wanted to bring it up right now, because it kind of ties with what we were talking about before, where I feel like, how can you play this game? You know?
Yeah.
Like, how? All right, let me phrase that. Not how can you play this game. Obviously, you can just stop buying cards and play with what you have. That's not awful, but
I mean, yeah, I don't know what to do. Like, it's tough, right? Because going back to the comment of like, it feels like we're getting priced out. So then if people get priced out, how do we keep playing? And the answer is proxies, right? Like, you just
the
pirate. Arr.
Arr!
Yeah.
Arr, matey. Oh well. That's my whole take. I feel like I love these cards. I love the new cards that are coming out. Outlaws of Thunder Junction and some stuff in Murders, but I feel like the Thunder Junction had some really cool cards. But I can buy the singles, but I'm an addict. You're an addict. We like cracking packs.
Yeah.
And we just can't anymore.
Yeah, we can't, and
we'd go broke.
Shame, yeah.
it's a mixture of the amount of product that is putting out, and the price of the product.
Yeah,
but really, I guess as a reflection in everything, I feel like that's everywhere.
You're not wrong, but like, I do feel like it's getting, it seems more rampant with this, right? Like video games, if we're just tying it to like another one of my favorite things, video games have gotten more expensive, but I can still justify buying a video game and I get a lot of use out of them, right?
I think that's it, right? Like, as when you're looking at, let's say, like when I do my expenditures and I look to see what I'm spending my money on, mm-hmm. obviously, or mortgage, car payments,
yeah,
you know, existing food, existing. And then I look at something that is a video game, which is guaranteed entertainment, and Magic the Gathering, which is gambling.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, I think in my Magic career, I would rather just go buy the singles. Let someone else open the pack for me, guarantee that I'm going to get that card.
And we've said it for a long time, like, buy singles. Like, it's a well-known mantra in the community. Mm. But, like, I still felt like I wanted to, like support them. And I just can't.
I can't
keep up with it anymore.
I can't. Like, how do I tell Wizards, hey, you're doing a good job designing these cards?
Yeah. I can't, because I don't have the money.
Yeah. I don't have the money.
Yeah.
Wizards, take my money, but I can't give it to you because you want too much money.
Yeah. Stop it.
Stop bad Wizards.
Yeah, bad wizards. Yeah, I don't know. It's rough, man. It's rough out here.
Okay. All right, moving on. Also, since our last meeting, or not last meeting, but last time we did one of these, the new update from the Commander Committee came out. They had their quarterly update on April 16th, 2024. Okay. And no changes to bans or unbans. The only thing that has been updated is their philosophy document.
What does that mean?
So, essentially, their philosophy, they say here, so they have the philosophy of Commander, right? The spirit behind Commander. And the philosophy, they say, is defined by three principles: social, creative, and stable. That's like the three tenets of Commander, right? It's social, being that it's a social game. It's a journey that you play with other friends. Creative, it allows you to build creative forms of expression. You don't want to be conformed to a specific building style. And stable, which means, you know, they try not to make big sweeping changes in Commander.
Sure.
So.
And that, how did they change that? I guess, did I miss it?
It's interesting because I feel like it's an interesting take because how do I want to word this? So obviously CEDH is a thing.
Sure.
Okay. And listen to their social statement. Commander is social. Each game is a journey the players share, where every player is considerate of the experiences of everyone involved. Magic is a competition in the same sense that all games are competitions, but whenever the act of competing comes into conflict with the social atmosphere, Commander prioritizes and protects the social atmosphere.
Okay. I guess that makes sense, right?
Which it does, but yeah. I double-edged sword here. Right. This is essentially the Commander Rules Committee saying we don't think that CEDH has a place. Not necessarily. Right. This is kind of them saying we don't want it to have like tournaments, like sanctioned events or things like that, because it's a social format.
Sure.
Do you kind of see what I'm getting at? Which is good. Right. We want it to stay social, because if the day that Commander goes competitive, it's over.
Yeah, like, and That's why I'm kind of okay with it, especially because like there's nothing stopping people from playing CEDH, right? And there's nothing stopping people, again, because Commander is kind of like a, you know, whatever, do whatever you want kind of thing, rule zero.
Yeah.
Just play CEDH.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think I'm fine with that.
I am too. I like, yeah, I'll go see what they did. Yeah, nothing. I love that they like put out these updates once a month or once a quarter, and their update is looks great.
Yeah,
I will say though, like having, you know, played some Commander, it feels like the format is in a good place right now, especially with all the Thunder Junction cards that have recently gotten added and all the murder cards. And I feel like same ideas before. I like we talked about this 2 weeks ago, but I really think Wizards is hitting their stride with the pre-cons.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree.
So I'm really happy with how the Commander side is going. Mm-hmm. I may not feel happy about how Wizards is going, but it's, you know, it's in a good state, I feel.
I think so too. This episode seems kind of doom and gloom, so I'm glad we're kind of trying to.
We're spinning it around.
We're bringing it back.
Yeah, we're bringing it back. Listen, we'll start the episode on a sour note and then just end on a high note. Tim, at the end of this episode, you'll be professing your love for me.
I do not want to get your hopes up.
We're going to do it. Don't worry, buddy. You don't have an option.
One, I'm editing, so I have an option. Two,
you don't have the option.
I don't think, I think you're a little overconfident.
You'll be crying tears of joy at the symphony of words that I am generating. This is the greatest aria I've ever given.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see.
it's so interesting, right? Like the game is good, but the company that is putting the game out, it's almost like not dumpster fire, but like I feel like there's Monopoly Man running around with a good game.
What do you mean? Like,
like Snidely Whiplash businessman running around with bags of money behind them.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay.
You know, but somehow they're lucky enough that they have a good game here. Yeah. Right. You look at like Pokemon, they basically gave up on the game and it's a collection, right? Yu-Gi-Oh kind of has a game there.
They have a game. It's just, I don't understand it.
Yeah. It's called Reading Simulator.
Yeah.
And I don't know. The game is looking good. I think the game is in a good state. I think we had a pretty, and we can segue into this now. I feel like Murders didn't really shake anything up, but Outlaw will.
I mean, if one of them's going to, yeah, it's going to be Outlaws and not Murder. I don't know that anything I saw necessarily did that though,
like for Commander.
Yeah, like maybe some cards are gonna be like gonna be more, I guess. There was no like warping, there was nothing that I feel like is gonna get banned eventually.
Sure Nothing is gonna get banned. Mm-hmm. But with the Outlaws, with the OTJ and the big score and the reprints of a lot of popular cards and the Commander decks, there was a lot of new product that hits a lot of archetypes.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So, like, are you best be sure, like, when we eventually do our deck discussion from when you design a deck, you know, I actually did, I talked about how much I liked Bristly Bill. And I designed a Bristly Bill deck. I'm in the process of designing a Fibble Fib deck. I think I'm too dumb for it.
Yeah. you lack the IQ to really grasp the Fibble Fip's true potential.
I do. And it's showing.
Yeah.
I'd rather just play Bristly Bill.
Yeah, Bristly Bill's where right? you're at. That's more your speed.
But, like, think about it, right? Like, Outlaws, with all of their combined products, must have had 50-plus legendaries get added to the format.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And they all have cowboy hats on.
Which, I mean, I guess might be a plus for some people.
Yeah. I think it's hilarious that like, online players have claimed they've been clamoring for a cowboy set.
Mm-hmm.
And now Wizards finally put one out, and everyone's like, oh, I hate cowboys. What are you doing?
It's just the other half, right? Like, the people who didn't want one to begin with are now speaking up, and the people who are happy are like, yay, thank you.
Thanks. This is what we wanted. It's perfect. It's always the vocal minority, I suppose.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, everyone's the minority.
It's just like when they become vocal, I think. It's probably like the same amount of people on both sides.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's ridiculous. Mm. You know, the rules committee doesn't ban a card and everyone gets pissed off. And so they eventually do ban that card and the people who played that card get pissed off. You know,
yeah.
So like the moment that they ban Thassa, all you're going to see online is how much people hate that ban.
I will not be one of those people.
Sure, but you're one of the people complaining right now that it isn't banned.
Yeah, no, but I would, in this scenario, I would then post and be like, thank you.
Thank you.
Listened.
Thank you.
Don't let these bullies make you change your mind.
Until they finally make the card Thassa's Oracle in a top hat.
Yeah.
Or what's it like, Llanowar Tribe? It just I love like once in a while Custom Magic will make like a post. It's just like three birds of paradise. And the flavor text will just be like snippings, like a kidnapping where they just take like a ransom note with just different parts of text, and it's just holy fucking shit, Jace. I just want three sasses where it's just like, if you cast it, you win the next three games.
I am glad that they don't have that.
It costs six blue pips.
Would it be bop, bop, bop? Bop, bop. Bird of paradise, paradise, paradise. Three.
Bird. It'd just be birds of paradise.
Bird, 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 bird.
Three birds in a trench coat.
That, oh, I'd buy that. Cowboy hat, no thank you.
No,
trench
thank you.
Coat,
trench.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. So, anyway, all right, let's talk about the two sets. Looking back, I have not seen much Murders.
Murders felt like it came and went in the same week.
Yeah.
Oh,
go ahead.
I was going to say, and I might be a little biased in that area because I didn't do anything involving Murders this year. That's a good soundbite.
I didn't murder anyone.
Not this year.
Not this year.
But just even online, right? Like, people were talking about Thunder Junction for a while. Like, they still are. And I feel like Murders didn't have that staying power.
Yeah, I think there was also some confusion between the clue set, and I think they went a little too hard. And even Mauro admitted they went a little too hard on the detectives.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, and like I bought, like I've been trying to buy one commander deck per release. So, for example, for Fallout, I bought Dogmeat. For Murders, I bought the Clue Goo. What do we call it? Whatever that was called. The one that had Morska.
It is Clue Goo.
I don't think it's actually Clue. I think it's Deep Sea Clue. Or Deep Clue Sea or something like
that. It was Deep Clue Sea, yeah.
Yeah, it's not Clue Goo.
But it's...
That's us. But it's Clue
Goo. But it is.
And I designed it, and I just, like, the more I think about it, the more I really don't care about building it.
That'll happen.
You know, like, it just, there's some cool cards in here, but they're not interesting enough.
Yeah. That's fair.
So, like, there are decent cards in that set, but nothing that's, like, splashy. It just felt very undertuned.
Yeah. And maybe that's, like, what, like, it felt like. Maybe undertuned is the word. For me, it was underwhelming. So, and
underwhelming, undertuned. We're kind of,
yeah,
you and I are kind of suckers for power. You know, we suckle at the teat of high powered terror at the peaks.
I don't like that. But
what? We literally have a bracket about which cards we think are the most powerfulest.
No, it was the phrasing.
You don't suckle at the teat?
No.
This episode will be titled Suckling at Teats.
No, it will not, because I'm in it.
It'll be titled Chris Suckles at Teats.
No, no. There will be no teats in the title. There will be no title teats.
No teetles.
See, it's getting worse. We're just going downhill.
Tim, we've been downhill since April of 2020.
That's a good point.
2021, actually. What, 2021? Yeah, 2021.
Yeah. I had to think about it for a second, but yeah, 2021.
Yeah, can you believe we're on season 4, my guy?
Dude, no. It seems kind of like we really... I don't think anyone expected us to continue to do this for this long, including us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, but we do it for the... We do it for the gram. We do it for the followers. Also, I just like talking to you, Tim.
Well, that's fair. I mean, we talk anyway.
That's true. Regardless, we spend all day at work talking and then go home and talk more.
Yeah, it is a lot. That's a good point. It's probably too much.
Fair. All right. So, Outlaws. Like, I just feel like with the power of Outlaws, thinking about it now, hearing about the pre-release, unfortunately, I couldn't go to pre-release because of the work travel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this week is, I guess this past Friday was the official release of the product. And there's just so much stuff in there. I feel it's going to make a bigger impact.
I definitely agree. It's going to make much more of an impact than Murders at Karloff Manor. I just, like, how could it not, right? Because it feels like I should say it's going to make more of an impact than most of the recent sets.
Yeah,
with the exception of like the premium sets,
for sure. All right. How about a quick discussion on Secret Lairs, Tim? We haven't talked about Secret Lairs on Hot Minute.
I don't know. My opinion on them has not changed, really. Like, I'm not a big fan of the mechanically unique stuff that they're putting in I guess I should say this. I'm more biased when it comes to the mechanically unique stuff. The Secret Lair is like, sure, if you really want to buy a couple cards that kind of break the fourth wall of Magic, it's not going to ruin my experience. But the second I start playing a Hello Kitty deck, I'm going to lose my shit. Right? Like,
yeah, that's fair.
But if you think about it, Secret Lairs are just something people have done through proxies already, and now Wizards is just making money off of it. So if you want to buy official cards from Wizards that have these things on them, then more power to you. It's not, it doesn't impact my game at all.
Yeah, that's fair. How do you feel about the change that they made to Secret Lair? That they are doing a limited print run now.
I think that's going to make it harder to...
Yes, that's... I mean, I'll stop you there. That's obvious. It's going to be harder to get them, right? Because bots and stores are buying them in troves before people even get a chance.
Well, yeah, and I guess that's my thing, is I think it might... kill Secret Lairs for me. Because A, we're going to get priced out. B, we're going to get priced, or not priced, we're going to get bought it out. You know, it's like the PS5, Xbox Series X issue mm-hmm. all over again, right? Like, they're going to come out, and if it's something I want, I'm either going to have to get real lucky, or I just give up and don't bother until they're like there's a chance to buy them again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more of a thing. It's like it seems like they're just capitalizing on scalpers, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, like, the whole point in my mind of Secret Lair was alternate art cards that they printed on demand, right?
Mm-hmm.
This Secret Lair was available for one day, and if you wanted it, you had it.
Mm-hmm.
Now they don't even do that anymore. They just print.
Hope you get one.
They print 1,000 of them and then say good luck. You know, and this was one of the decisions that was made by the CEO, or while she was in the chair, right? Yeah. So another one of those hard decisions. And I think it completely goes against the spirit of Secret Lair.
Yeah, it absolutely does. But it doesn't go against making money. Yeah.
It doesn't go against money.
And the thing is, I didn't feel like it was really that. I feel like it's only going to have a negative impact on Secret Lair, right? Because if they only make, say they make 1,000, they're banking on every single time they do these, 1,000 get bought by scalpers. But yeah. The thing is people to combat scalpers, some people, not everybody, obviously, because scalpers still exist, but like, they just don't buy it, right? Like, they let them make the financial investment and then get stuck with, you know, crates of Xboxes and crates of, like, these cards and everything now.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like they just, Wizards is really banking that scalping is gonna stick around for this kind of entertainment medium, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
And maybe they'll be right in that gamble. I kind of hope they're not.
Of course they'll be right.
Well, yeah.
Because everyone's going to continue to buy Magic.
Well, but Secret Lair doesn't change Magic, I guess is my point, right? Like, Secret Lair is, you have to want that Secret Lair. So
that's true. But you can be sure I see, like, one of the Secret Lairs I'm actually holding, I haven't opened it yet right now, is Bugging Out. It came out, and I think this was the fall summer drop. Let me see how much it is now. Foil is $58. So, like, it's gone up in price.
Mm-hmm.
Market price is $45. And so, you looking for one right now?
Yeah, I thought I had one.
Oh. But, like, if I'm going to build a Grist deck, I'm going to do it with the one from this set. You know what I mean? And yeah. So, like, me as a collector, I know we've talked about this, blinging out, like, bling out your commanders.
Yeah.
The only, like, some of these cards, they're the only way to really bling them out.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's just frustrating to me. Like, if I'm not there the day, like the moment that it drops, it's almost like Ticketmaster. They've almost Ticketmastered Secret Lairs.
Well, yeah, and it's because
it works.
It works. There's no repercussions for doing it.
They will sell out every Secret Lair, and they're going to look cool about it. They're going to be able to tell their shareholders, look, we sold out every Secret Lair.
Yeah, exactly. And it's going to over inflate like what's actually going on.
Yeah. You know, and the hardest part for me, I see these cards. I see the cards that are being designed, and I see the cards that they're putting out. And it's apparent to me that some of the decisions have nothing to do with the designers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that's the hardest part for me, right? Is I love this game and I love the cards that come out for this game. Sure, sometimes they whiff, sometimes they have good cards, sometimes they have push cards, right? Mm-hmm. And I like Secret Lair. I feel like the artists, you know, it's good to be able to give those artists the opportunity to express themselves in their own ways.
Yeah.
And if they can figure out a way to sell it for those unique arts, good, they should.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm being used.
Yeah.
You're absolutely. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
And in my mind, and I guess this is the crux of my feeling right now, is if I were to cut an expenditure from my life, it would be the card game based around gambling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like if Wizards and Hasbro, not the designers are making awesome cards, and I really like what they're doing. But if the company continues to try to milk us for everything we're worth, it's a losing game. It's a losing battle.
I think for, it's a losing battle. I think for the people who actually care about the game, I think you're right. Like the more they do this, the more it's going to push it towards a collector's game and not a Magic, like, TCG, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, but the thing is, I feel like they wouldn't keep making these decisions if they weren't profitable. So, like, at the end of the day, they're a company, and they're clearly okay with.
If they're so profitable, though, why are they doing 10% layoffs?
Again, for profits. That's it. That's. Right, like let's not like beat around the bush. Layoffs increase profits.
Yeah. No, sure they do. This CEO probably took a fat juicy paycheck,
mm-hmm.
laid off 10%, took a bonus, and then left.
Absolutely. Yep. On to the next
company to take under. You know, and I feel bad because obviously money rules the world. There's no getting around that. Money is life.
This is such a depressing episode.
it really is. But like, really, it's so, it
went south.
but it's hopeful. I feel it's hopeful because Magic, the game, is doing well. Commander is in a great state. They just had a really cool set coming out. They have really cool sets coming up. I'm really excited for Bloomburrow. I haven't bought many boxes recently, but I will be buying a box of Bloomburrow.
Mm.
Right? They make all these cool cards and I want them. And so they're doing their job. It's just the business side of the game is the problem. That's I think the culmination of what we've been talking about here.
Yeah.
You know? Like nothing has changed about how Magic cards are designed between 2020 and now. So why are they double the price? That's what I'm trying to get at. What has warranted a booster box of Magic to go from $80 to $90 to $150? What about their production? What about their method of design? They had layoffs. Theoretically, they should be paying less people. Right? I get it. They have to pay all these new licenses to all of the different IPs that they're bringing in for Universes Beyond. But they're doing that themselves to increase profit.
Yeah.
And credit to the designers, you know, the designers are probably like, oh shit, now I got to design a fucking Assassin's Creed set.
Yeah.
And they did a good job, like with the cards that we've seen so far. I'm getting heated right now.
Yeah, you really are.
I don't want to see fucking suits show up and ruin the game that we all know and love because they want to Hasbro suits coming in saying, hey, look, Magic is profitable. let's milk it. And we've been saying that for a while.
I was going to say, hasn't that already happened?
Yeah. Well, they're milking it. That's the, we're in the middle of the milking.
We're getting milked. We're right getting,
boys and girls, we're getting milked.
Oh God.
And when I scroll like TikTok, you know, all I see is just pack openings, just stores doing pack openings all the time. You know, and box breaks and this and that. So obviously the game is going strong. But to the average consumer, to the you and to the me, it's a lot harder. So that's my question. What about the game? And this kind of, this is, I guess, just more of a ramble on hyperinflation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at anything, really. Like, what about the process of I don't know, bottling water has caused the price to go from $1 a bottle to five? Like McDonald's, let's fucking look at McDonald's, right? I used to be able to go to McDonald's and get the two cheeseburger meal for like $5 with fries and a soda. It's almost $10 now. What about making a cheeseburger has changed in the past 2 years to double the price of it?
This is just turning into the...
This is our anti-sponsor. We're just moving into anti-sponsor.
The whole episode was an anti-sponsor.
It sure feels that way. State of the Magic, the game is awesome. The business is not. There you go. That's the culmination of the I want the game to continue to thrive, but if the business continues to just give us the reach around and fucking take all of our money, the game is going to die.
Maybe we shouldn't do a quarterly State of Magic.
It's going to be mad the whole time.
Yeah, it's just not great.
Like, some of my fondest gaming memories are sitting down at a commander table and playing with three friends, drinking beer, making fun of people, having a good time playing the game.
Yeah.
If Magic and Wizards continues to milk us, I will no longer have those kinds of moments because I cannot anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I can. I can play with the cards I have.
I was going to say, like...
We can just stop buying product, which...
Yeah.
Sure. We can.
It doesn't take away... The game will not disappear. It may... At a certain point, there may not be new cards, but there will always be the old cards.
Correct. But it's going to be hard to get new people into the hobby. They're making it impossible to enter as a hobby. Hey, Tim, I got a cool game. Do you want to play it? Sure. You got to pay $450.
True.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you pay the $450, you're going to like it so much that you need to pay $1,000 to stay competitive. Yeah, and then do that 14 more times because it's addicting.
Yeah.
And I also get it, right? Like, there's supply and demand. Obviously, people want the good cards, and so they're going to pay the money for the good cards. People don't give a shit about draft chaff, so they're not going to pay the money for the draft chaff, right? But, like, $270 for a booster box? We had this exact same conversation when Commander Masters came out.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's the same, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, the same concept, right? Because every time we get a premium set, we kind of go down this rabbit hole a little bit.
Here. When did Modern Horizons 2 come out? Was that 2 years ago?
I think so, yeah.
What between 2 years ago, Commander Masters, Modern Horizons 2, which you can buy for $215 for a box? Like, there was a period where they were selling for like $190.
Mm-hmm.
To now, almost $300. What changed?
There was a blight of cardboard locusts, and they ate all of the cardboard in the whole world, so they had to come up with a new synthetic substitute, but it's incredibly difficult to make because it requires that you take a piece of paper and you squeeze it real tight to make it the cardboard consistency.
That's fucking paper! nothing like, and Wizards can never acknowledge the secondary market, you know, and but yeah. They define these things as premium products. Like, how do they make that definition? Why is modern considered a premium product? Because they know the modern player base will pay. Look, I'm getting heated. Man. Let's go back to the cheese. Let's go back to the cheeseburger conversation.
No. I think we need to come, and I think we probably need to end.
Goose frabami, Tim. Goose frabami.
Goose frabami. It is not all doom and gloom.
No. Because no, it's not. And I tried to reiterate that with the fact that I really like the state of the game.
Yeah, yeah. Magic mechanically is doing real good. The cards that they, if let me just spin it this way. Even if we get priced out of buying the cards, as long as they're still making the cards, right? And they're still paying designers and devs and everything to make these cards, we'll be okay. We may not buy them anymore, but we'll still have them. And sure, we may have to wear a tricorner hat and put on an eye patch and get a parrot, but we'll still be able to get the cards.
Yo ho, yo ho, a printer's life for me.
Exactly.
Now, obviously, if anyone from Wizards is listening to this, Tim and I would never proxy. That's just wrong. We would only use 30th edition proxies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Only the real 30th
edition was.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
No, man. If that's the way it's going to be and they get mad about proxying, then sure. They'll lose a player. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think proxies will always be one of those things that, like, sure, if we're talking to someone who works at Magic, they can't condone it. But, like,
yeah.
They get it.
All right. Back to anti-sponsor. Fucking fast food is no longer fast food. Why? Yeah. Like, let's talk about the slow death of individualism and uniqueness in the American what's the word I'm looking for? Commercial environment, right? McDonald's, and I keep focusing back on McDonald's. They used to have like Play Pits and Ronald McDonald and fun colors and Nintendo's inside and all kinds of cool stuff going on. Now, it feels like I'm entering just another standard gray blob of boring architecture and paying $10 for shitty cheeseburgers.
Well, that's the thing is, like, is it for me such a bad thing? Because now, even if fast food isn't the cheapest option, it has literally nothing going for it for me.
Agreed.
So, like, I might as well just eat better.
But also at the same time, like, all other restaurants have gone up in price at an exponential rate. There's a restaurant we went to lunch today there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When that restaurant first came out, mm-hmm. a bowl was like $8 to $9. It was about $8 or $9, maybe.
Really,
$9.
When it first started?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
4 years later, it's $14. What about the production of kale has changed? Am I just buying too much avocado toast?
Yeah, this is your fault. You should have been investing before you existed, before your parents existed, really.
Honestly, true. Why am I not a boomer?
No, I mean, you're not wrong, but like, I think the fast food industry has gotten like
worse.
Yeah, I think its price increase has been much larger, at least as from what I could tell, you know. Like we still go out to dinner most nights, and it's like around $50 to $60 if it's like a nice sit down dinner.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. Don't get me wrong, but like I think maybe 3 years ago it was like $45 to $55. You know,
I'm also getting it's ridiculous, and I know you disagree on me or disagree with me on this one. How everything requests tips now.
Yeah.
Everything. You tip your waitress.
Mm-hmm.
You tip your hairstylist. That should be it.
I think delivery deserves a tip.
Okay, sorry, delivery. Delivery, your waiter or waitress, and your hairstylist.
Yeah.
When I go up, and like it's like a yogurt, let's say like a froyo restaurant, where I make my own goddamn froyo, and they ask for a 25% tip.
Yeah.
What do you want me to pay you for? Weighing my froyo?
No, so
you also get to see how fat I am? Is that tip to stay silent?
Yeah, am I judge me?
Yeah, here's 25 extra cents for judging me.
Yeah. And we've had this discussion before. I think the issue is not necessarily that these places are asking for tips. The issue is that people are using these tips as a way to not pay their workers a fair wage, mm-hmm. and then I feel obligated, right? Because I want this person who has this job to be able to live, right? So I feel obligated to do that so they can actually make what they have been, what they deserve to make via salary and not via tips.
Sure. So I agree with you on that, but
yeah,
I don't like tipping if it's not me handing the money to the person that did the service.
That's fair.
Right. When we go into that restaurant today, three different people worked on my food.
Mm-hmm.
There was one that did the initial vegetable and rice filling, then one that did the toppings, and then one that put the chicken on it, and then one at the register. You're telling me that my tip, my 12 cents, is going to go to each of them?
I think so.
There's no, there's no way.
You think it just goes to the restaurant?
I think it just goes to the restaurant and they dish it out evenly. And the restaurant also takes a 0.5%, like 50% of it.
Well, that's, I guess.
Right. If I'm at a restaurant and I hand a $10 bill to the waitress, that $10 is going into her pocket. You should know that. You worked in and maybe some of it goes to the kitchen staff.
Yeah, right? You tip out.
You tip out, but most of it you keep.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Guaranteed. I go into a Starbucks and I pay $17 for a mocha frappuccino, caramel latte, espresso macchiato,
mm-hmm.
and I tip $3 on that. That barista is seeing 10 cents of that $3.
I guess I don't know if that's true, right?
That's how I feel.
Sure, I can't change how you feel. I don't know. We are really. This is a weird episode. We clearly have been.
We had a lot. Listen, Tim, you and I didn't vent about work today, so yeah. We needed to vent about something else.
I guess that's fair. Look, man. I don't disagree that these things don't deserve tips. But I think you're getting mad at the wrong thing.
No, I fully agree with you that the employees should be paid more. The tipping culture is the problem, and it ties back to the whole concept of us being milked, where corporations are like, oh, you know what? What if we did put 30%? I bet someone's going to click that.
Well, yeah, we're living in late stage capitalism. This is what we get for our government being the median age being like 60 and them not giving a crap about actually improving the lives of the people before them.
You mean a banana doesn't cost $10?
Here, go see a Star Wars.
Oh, Star Wars Shatterpoint.
Okay.
You want to talk about something good, Tim? I don't want to talk about how much money I've put into that game.
I was going to say, man, you think they're not milking you? You are the prize cow for Shatterpoint. You bought all the boxes.
No, that's not true. I don't have them all.
You have most of the boxes.
And to be fair, I bought most of them on credit card bonus points.
Which is fine, but that doesn't make it free, right?
Like, sure. It's not free, but it's not out of my pocket.
It's less
out of my pocket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And most of the boxes too, if I bought them on Amazon, I waited for them to be on sale. So I'm being thrifty with it.
There you go.
See, I'm smart. You know what I can't buy on Amazon? On a thrifty sale? Commander Masters. I looked at the price of Commander Masters, like booster box is still like $300-something.
The booster box? Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Before I go down another tangent.
Yeah, I think we need to here are some plugs from Evie.
Thank you for listening to Casual Commander. Give us a follow on Facebook and Twitter for weekly Magic content. We also have a Discord and Patreon, so be sure to check those out as well. Links can be found at casualcommanderpodcast.com. See you next week.
All right, we're going to end this episode talking about how cute our significant others are.
Mm-hmm.
How cute is Evie?
She's a cutie patootie.
Aww. How cute's Lily?
Oh, she is a cutie pie.
Aw, how cute's Finn?
Yeah.
This was going to be a happy ending, Tim. You just called my child ugly.
I didn't call him ugly. I refused to comment.
Yep, meh. Anyway, summation of this episode. Magic the game is in a good place. Magic the company, Wizards the company, is driving me crazy.
Mm-hmm. If you didn't pick up on that from this episode, you probably stopped listening.
I don't blame them.
Well, welcome back. Thanks for listening.
If you made it this far, message me on Discord for a free prize.
All right, that's on you.
I have a lot of stickers.
That's true. Yeah, we can give out stickers.
Yeah. If you made it this far in the episode, message me on Discord, you get a sticker.
God, it's going to be our most listened to episode.
Seven. Okay. Well, I'm setting a time limit. You have until May 4th to send me a message on Discord. And if you do, you get a free sticker.
Okay. I'm going to message you like 50 times.
I'm not going to give you a sticker.
That's bullshit.
You get one. Okay. One sticker per person, US only.
That's fair.
All right. End the episode two.
All right. I'll find a place to shove Evie in.
she already joined for plugs.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay.
Why are you shoving my wife places?
Anyway, thanks for listening. If you made it this far, I'm so sorry. We'll be back with more next week, hopefully in a better mindset than we were today. And hope you all enjoyed the little break. Hope everyone enjoyed Thunder Junction pre-release, if you went. Hope everyone's having fun with that set. For all those who partake in hoedowns, I don't know.
Just end the damn episode.
Okay, bye. We love you.